Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about strategies and best practices for enhancing student motivation in the classroom with our guest, Dr. Joel Gooden. Now, but before we go ahead and begin with the discussion, I want to just share a little bit about today's guest. Dr. Joel Gooden is an educational psychologist specializing in learning, motivation, and performance. He graduated magna cum laude from the University of Arkansas and earned his master's, EDS, and PhD from Florida State University with a focus on learning and cognition. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Thank you.
All right. Would you like to share a little bit about your educational journey with our audience today?
I'll be brief. I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do in undergrad. I decided maybe I had a knack for counseling. Went into that in undergrad in the last year. Did an honors ed that helped me, but then went for the MS and EDS in counseling, but then I got invited to a PhD program. So I didn't really stick with the counseling, went on and learned, got a little more research and theoretically motivated. I use the counseling skills just, for coaching, consulting, things like that.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well, I have to ask you, Joel, what are some practical strategies that teachers can use to increase student motivation when students, really seem completely checked out, or disengaged? I know this would be a big help for first-year teachers just walking into the classroom.
Sure. A lot of motivation problems are really attention, the relevance of the issue or perceived relevance. They often don't connect the dots. Why do I care? Confidence. Can I actually succeed? And then emotional safety. Is something we're all talking about a lot more. That emotional safety in disguise, I would say. That's one reason I often come back to the ARCS model. I actually studied under a guy named Dr. John Keller, and he developed this ARCS model instructional design background, but attention, relevance, confidence, and satisfaction. It gives teachers a practical framework instead of just saying make learning fun.
Oh, yes.
So First, I can get into that or I can just leave it there.
Well, let me ask you a follow on to how can teachers re-engage kids without turning the classroom into entertainment all day long?
Yeah. Right. So I think you're saying, how can they engage kids?
Okay. Like maybe the ARCS model, like you were talking about, right? Maybe that,
Yeah. I was just going to elaborate on that.
Sure.
And I think it will address the issue, but first capture attention. And that can be gamified. That can be if you can create mystery, curiosity, any of that, something that they enjoy. That can. I don't think teaching has to be about enjoyment, but it's really nice when it.
Right.
Students, you got phones. Stress from home life, social pressure, exhaustion, algorithm, dopamine,
sales
machines all day. So a lecture that starts with open your textbook to page 47, that's going to kill the room. Teachers can really increase attention through novelty, storytelling, emotional hooks, controversy, humor, moving around, real world examples, even simply asking better questions. So curiosity is, a cognitive crowbar is what I call it. So
All right. In your experience, Joel, what role do teacher-student relationships play in motivating students to participate or take risks or stay engaged in learning for that matter,
Right. I think teacher-student relationships are foundational. And this goes back to, I always sort of build off of theories that I've studied, and they have practical applications. So self-determination theory with DC and Ryan says, we've got three main psychological needs as learners or in general, autonomy, competence, and relatedness. And so relatedness or connection is really the one that we need. And there's always that phrase, we don't care what you know until we know how much you care.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So students are going to engage more, take more risks as learners, answering questions, ask questions, persist through difficulty, be resilient when they believe the teacher genuinely cares about them as human beings. And if they're surrounded by other students that they're connected to, that can also be really beneficial to fit in, to have sort of a feeling of collegiality with other students. But a lot of it comes from the teacher. If you don't connect with the teacher, I think that can create a really difficult learning atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Student relationships are very, very critical. Foundational, as a matter of fact, before any really true learning. I mean, obviously, kids are not going to want to learn from someone they don't like, I would think, you know. Right. The other thing you mentioned was relevance. You know, when I went to school, you know, the teacher put something up on the board, and I'm thinking to myself, and I thought about this as a fifth grader, or, you know, fourth, fifth grader, how is this going to help me in real life? You know, trying to get that relevant, why do I need to really learn this kind of stuff? You know what I'm saying? How's it going to benefit me in the real world? You know?
Sure. Yeah. So, I think we're going to struggle with that even more as AI becomes more ubiquitous. Why do I need, you know, it's the whole, like, yeah, when I was younger, it was why do I need to know how to do this when I've got a calculator? And not only is smartphones, and now we have AI in our smartphones. So really just trying to tell people, here's why you need to understand it. Here's how you'll use it. And if you make it up and that's bad marketing. If you can't sell it, then they're going to be left wondering, why do I need this? And
right,
it's going to be a whole lot less motivation if they just don't see the relevance.
Absolutely. And I want to kind of piggyback off that, Joel.
The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
So then how can teachers make lessons feel more meaningful and more relevant in students' lives today? You know, you mentioned AI, you know, which I don't know. I know it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. If anything else, it'll get more sophisticated as years go on. But, you know, I'm kind of thinking for the early grades, it's great for obviously teachers to know AI and kind of be skilled in that. But I don't know so much as far as young children. You know, you want to teach them to be critical thinkers and problem solvers and not to run to, you know, OpenAI or Claude or any of these other things, to enhance their own learning, you know?
Sure. So I think you were asking, how can they just make the lessons more relevant and really sell that? Or I would say, going back to AI, I would say, use it as a tool instead of something forbidden. Help students learn to become managers of AI. That should be a great skill. And it will also, it could be exciting, especially in the first few years. And it's always going to be sort of the Wild West because it'll continue developing. But in terms of just making class relevant and enjoyable, if you can gamify education, I think that's good. If you can create situations, competition, if you can create challenges, I think that's good. Always, if it's just do the assignment, be finished, get a grade. I think that is, but if you can get them to actually care about it, understand the point of it and care about learning, and sort of being, producing a good performance.
But now is your sense of things that even AI, as far as the early learners, is something that they should know? Or, I mean, do you think it's really crucial, or should that be reserved for maybe, you know, from fifth grade on, you know?
Well, if I was the dictator or something, then, you know, I might try to implement wait till they're 12 or whatever. But I think the truth in most homes is going to be they're going to be on the phones. I mean, they've been on smartphones at age, whatever, 3.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
5. And they're better at smartphones than I am. And I think the reality is going to be they're going to be engaging with AI. So instead of fighting it, I think parents that do create some boundaries, and schools for that matter, that do create some sort of let's put the AI away for a minute and just talk. I think we do need to sort of build in time for authentic communication, thinking, non-assisted. And that's generally what we want. We don't want your AI output. We want to know, have you reached the outcomes of what we really need in this course? For me, a lot of that for my students is critical thinking, research skills. Those are the two outcomes I need. I don't necessarily care how you do it, if you really have those two outcomes, but I can't look at your paper anymore and tell from your paper that you know that information, because AI could have written your paper for you. So
yeah.
Just finding new ways to really measure the end result outcomes that are the true targets for our learning, whatever course you're teaching, what do we really need them to know? And really finding a way to measure that, often through, I think, dialogue is one way. So
it's like,
right. I may have gotten off track there. So
no, that's fine. No, that's fine. Joel, let me ask you something else now in terms of differentiated instruction. Now, how can that help motivate kids, especially in classrooms where, you know, there's different learning styles, you know, ability levels and interests and all that? I mean, obviously, you don't have to create 30 specific different lesson plans. You know, I mean, a teacher would go nuts, you know.
Right.
What's your take on that?
It's good. Differentiated instruction can really improve motivation. The more about me it is, the more I'm going to be excited about it. And as a student, I'd say the same thing. You made this about me. I'd love to learn that. Because students are not all entering the classroom with the same background knowledge, confidence,
right.
Pace, interests, learning needs. So the one size fits all instruction can communicate this classroom was designed for the average student, and it leaves out the students that are sort of struggling, and it often leaves out the more gifted students that may be above average.
Right.
So I think when differentiation is done well, students are more likely to feel competence, autonomy, and just be generally motivated. I think AI will give us more options to provide differentiated experiences in learning.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah. What are some manageable ways that a teacher can, in fact, differentiate instruction without being bogged down or totally overwhelmed? I mean, you mentioned AI, which can help tremendously in terms of designing different types of differentiated activities for your maybe low, mid, high achievers, gifted. Yeah.
So students engage more when tasks feel challenging rather than overwhelmingly difficult or painfully easy. Differentiating them, groups of interest instead of groups of ability can be good. There's definitely positives and negatives to group work. You often have people leading the group doing most of the work and things like that. But if you can create groups, you can differentiate less without it being, you know, 35 students, 35 different differentiations. With AI, I do think AI has the potential to support individualized learning experiences, still maintaining the same learning outcome goals. We need to set up that infrastructure in classrooms, and I wouldn't really ask the teacher to do that alone. Honestly, it will probably end up being the teachers to do it because the school system may not do it. They'll probably just follow what teacher X, you know, figures something out in his or her classroom. And then the school's like, oh, that's a great idea. We should do that. I think that's going to be what will happen. And we'll see what works and hopefully build some best practices in the next 5 years.
Okay, outstanding. Well, let me ask you something. Joel, what is your biggest takeaway that you'd like to share with our audience today? What would you tell that first-year teacher just coming out of college, you know, first day in the classroom? We could all remember what that was like.
Right, right. And I've taught a lot of pre-service teachers. Yeah, I did that for years. So motivation, I would say, is, since that's what I focus on, is not just something students either have or don't have. It's heavily shaped by the environment, relationships, emotional safety, relevance, confidence, opportunities for success. So a disengaged student is not always lazy. They may be overwhelmed, discouraged, disconnected. Maybe they simply stop believing that their effort could actually turn into success. So teachers cannot control every variable students bring into the classroom, but they can focus on creating an environment that increases the likelihood of engagement, building resilience, growth, connection, and often small relational and instructional shifts matter more than any giant dramatic intervention. So really just focus on showing that you care, teaching chunks of information at a time, engaging them. And you can think about it, but I think about it one step at a time instead of a big, overarching, dramatic intervention. Think of the little things you can do to make students comfortable, to get students interested in the information.
Okay.
And see the potential outcomes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. How can folks connect with you, Joel, if they want to reach out to you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I'm at National University, so I think I'll just give my email there. It's jgoodin, that's jgoodin, at nu.edu. Probably the best way.
Okay, great. Now I'll also put that in the description as well for you. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Joel. I really appreciate you coming on today. You know, I know our new teachers are going to get some great value from this, and I really appreciate your time. Okay. Sure. All right. Having said that, I want to thank y'all for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and we will see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of Teacher Rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.